welcome to Rugged Theology, where we talk church planting, theology, and drink coffee. Welcome back to another episode of Rugged Theology. We are now back into the swing of things, gearing up to get ready for the summer and all that stuff and what church planting looks like in Newfoundland and Labrador. As always, I am your host, Adam Diamond, and today we are going to give you another insight into what we've been doing in the last four, probably 5 weeks now. But today it's just me and Mr. Leahy.
Hey, everyone.
So we're back. Me and Matt, it's only me and Matt today, because we got to take in the Send Network gathering in Toronto, which is a real blessing, really. But that's because me and Matt are the only church planters here. So
that's right.
Guys, if you're missing out, if you have a case of FOMO, fear of missing out, get assessed.
Or apply to be a church planter and then get assessed.
And then fail, because me and Matt are awesome. No. We were able to get flown up there. Send helped pay for the flights and that. It was great. And we got to meet with other church planters across Toronto. Actually, I ran into a lot of people that we took in our orientation engage, with.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought you were going to go with Engage and talk about, you can edit all this.
That's fine, bye. Yeah. The orientation that we took back November, right. I seen a lot of people that we had our orientation with down in Atlanta.
No, that's right. We did. Cause we went to Atlanta back in November, for Send orientation. It was definitely good to meet up with and see a lot of familiar faces from even that event. Even some of the, like a lot of the workers, not all of the workers, that came.
Yeah. Some of the girls in that, the staff came from Alpharetta.
That's right. Yeah.
And they were helping out. So it was familiar faces. It's really neat. But you're right. No, we had our Engage conference. Hoping to have a recap on one of our episodes about what that was like.
Yep.
We had people come for a vision trip. First we've done again in 3 years.
That's right. Yeah.
And we got to meet these guys who were also part of Send Network and just spend more time with them, meet their wives, that kind of thing. And it was a great experience overall. Generally, Matt, what was your first impression? This is the first gathering that we've taken in, because you got assessed, through COVID, I got assessed, and things are finally kicking off again. This is the first gathering they've done in like two, three years. So what was your overall impression of a couple of days we were in Toronto?
So selfishly, it was nice to just get away with my wife, right? So, everyone has come through COVID. We're trying to put it in the rear view mirror. And it was the first time in 2 years that my wife and I have been able to, because we got three kids and life is hectic with church planning. It was the first time that we got to just get away, and not just get away, but get out of the province, away from my kids. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying I don't love my kids. I love all three of my kids greatly. But it was just nice to be out of province, traveling with my wife, spending time with her, and just seeing her, in a way that I haven't seen in 8 years of having children. This is the first time that we were both separate from having any kids around us. And so it was just nice to see her, just taking in the sights and sounds and, just taking a break from mother duties, if you will. So it definitely, and if I could just say, now I lost my train of thought.
It was good for me and my wife too. It was so nice again just to get away and for our wives to be included. Mm-hmm. That was great, because we got treated very well down in Atlanta. Send Network was a blessing to us. Yep. And we'll get into that after, but it is really great to have such an organization behind you when you're, it can feel very isolating, very alone sometimes, very stressful, because you're trying to get things up and running from the ground up.
Right. And then to have, this massive influence and affluence in our lives, Send Network, just to come alongside us and support us and just cheer us on from, all over the world, really. People all over the U.S. and the world looking in at what we're doing here and just being like, yeah, go do it. So Send Network, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for just a huge blessing that was this gathering. So
And we had some great speakers really pour into us and talk about marriages and talk about some other things. And it was just really, really good stuff. And
the whole theme of the conference was built for this.
Built for this, yeah.
Right? So you are built for this. God has built your marriage for this purpose of church planning. God has equipped you as church planners for the purpose of church planning. And so it was an all-around encouraging, affirming conference. Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, over the last, month or so, I've been having a hard time thinking about church planning, really hard on myself, just, getting down, feeling defeated, but going to a conference and, it was not a conference, it was a gathering. Theme being built for this was a real reminder that, God has put us here, me and you, with my mission, we're the only church planters here. Hopefully we get more on the ground, doing something from the ground up.
Yeah,
we have no infrastructure. We're starting a network from the ground up. Very few Baptists, very few evangelical churches in the city. And it's a very hard place to plant. But God has put us here, and He has, for a reason. And yes, we depend on the strength. We give God the glory. But He's put us here for a reason.
And, just as a thing about this whole idea of, built for this, one of the things that I really took away from this gathering was, and Adam, we chatted about it briefly as we were listening to the various speakers talk, was, so when I look at who I am, I look at the qualities and the characteristics and the talents that God has put inside of me. Mm-hmm. And I look at you, Adam, and how, who you are and how God has created you. You are definitely geared for the downtown area of St. John's. I'm not. But you are not, I don't think, geared for where I'm church planning in Kilbride. And again, that's because, not to say that God couldn't use you. I mean, I'm not God's gift to Kilbride and Southern Shore for church planning.
By you're any just God's gift to your wife.
Right, no. Right. But when I look at my experiences and my upbringing on the Southern Shore, I can clearly see that God has built me for time such as this, and He's built me for this environment to plant. And so as I came away, that was really affirmed for me that, no, Matt, God didn't call you to downtown. He hasn't called you to Shea Heights. He hasn't called you to Happy Valley Goose Bay or Carbony or whatever. He has called you based on his knowledge to this area, and He's equipped you for this. Matt, you are built for this. So.
Mm-hmm. And just a side note, Matt does not think he's his gift, the gift to his wife. we're not that full of ourselves, but just in case you took it seriously. It was Ashley Austin that spoke, the last speaker.
Yes.
And he talked about planting for significance. And he shared a story about what he's gone through and some of us thought we had a rough year. I can't do his story justice, but let's just say there's a very good chance that he was on his deathbed and he almost didn't make it to the surgery. But God knew what He was doing. He made God the hero of the story, and God is the hero of the story. But He reminded us again of the fact of, remember what God has done for you, because in church planting, it's so easy to get discouraged.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so easy to feel overwhelmed by the pressures of demands and budgets and keeping track of partners. And Mile One Mission helps us with this, but there's a lot of people who don't have a network like Mile One Mission to help them. Mm-hmm. So just thinking about that. And it's so easy to be overwhelmed, and the pressure it adds to the family on top of regular ministry is a lot to take on. But to remember what God has done and how He's provided for you, it was just an amazing time. Matt messaged me. He's like, what have I been believing for the last couple of months? And we both went through what God has done in our lives up to this point.
Yep. And right? That's a healthy thing that I think anyone should do. I think we should all take time to not only reflect on the present, the current, and see how, you hear that phrase, count all your blessings or consider all your blessings, but take time to go back and do a timeline. Mm-hmm. Write out, I came to saving faith, in 20 whatever. And then try to look at how much God has blessed you and how He's moved you and equipped you all throughout your faith, when He's seen you through, the darkest valleys, and when you've praised Him on the mountaintops. And chances are you're probably not going to be able to count all the blessings, but it's just a great and little neat way to just be reminded that God has always been there. He's never left you nor forsaken you. So,
I mean, even if your church plant were to fail, it doesn't mean it wasn't significant. It doesn't mean it wasn't there for a purpose.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that God wasn't faithful. God was faithful to that moment. He's going to continue to be faithful, and we need to trust in him and his promises and his word. But scripture is very clear that, you know, you're supposed to teach the younger generations about what God has done. Mm-hmm. And that includes, I think, one, helping them know who God is and where you've come from and where the Israelites came from and all that. But also for us, I think as church planters, it's important to remind our family and ourselves when things go rough, when things don't go the way we want to, when things don't turn out the way we want to, when we face issues, health issues, you know, financial issues, whatever it may be, of where God has gotten us, what God's done in the past. And, you know, as our kids get older, you've got, you know, 8-year-old girl, 5-6-year-old girl.
That's right.
I've got a 5-year-old girl who turns 6 later this year, a 2-year-old boy, your boy will turn 3 later this year. But as they get older, to remind them, like, listen, we've seen God be faithful at these moments. Mm-hmm. Don't think he's not going to take care of you,
right?
That he doesn't care about you, because he does. Just the moments of how both of us have even gotten to this point, and how, not even just us, but everyone in these offices, their old journeys. I mean, we shared some of our journeys before and growing up, you know, between churches, growing up Roman Catholic, growing up Pentecostal, those kinds of things, and our own journeys here. And that's all God being faithful to us and drawing us to himself. And it's just such a good reminder. But there's another thing about these gatherings I think that's important for us to acknowledge and thank Send Network for. We're on an island. We're isolated enough as it is.
Isolated.
Yeah.
Isolated.
But then you add ministry into it, which is very isolating. So I've done ministry before. Mm-hmm. I've been a youth and children's pastor. This is your first swing or go at it, we'll say. How have you found it, just typically being in ministry, being a church planter, have you found it isolating? Did you think you were going to feel that way?
Well, I think, you know, I've heard story after story about, you know, how church planting is sexy and how church planting, you know, let's just be a church planter. It's the in thing to do. And you know what? Church planting is hard. It is hard. It can be miserable from day to day. I mean, you're dealing... This isn't a 9-to-5 job. You're literally dying to self every single day for other people. And you know, you're dealing with humans, you're dealing with sin, you're dealing with just the day-to-day rigors of ministry. All the while trying to do it in an area that has never had the gospel and has a misconceptions on what the church should be. And so so most days it feels like an uphill battle, to be honest. So it can feel very isolating. It can feel very lonely. It can feel very, you know, like you just want to throw your hands in the sky and just be like, why am I even doing this? But then, you know, like Adam was saying, you take a step back and you're like, you know what? I have people around me. I'm going to try to bridge a gap here. So we're reading through the book of Acts, as a church. And we read in Acts 17 today, we're looking at how Paul had gone from, Berea to Thessalonica down to Athens, and every step of the way that he went, he encountered people and he encountered opposition. He was driven out of the cities, and the people who were with him ended up, you know, helping him escape from the cities and sent him on his way. And if for me, as I was reading, this was a great reminder that we have people when we are facing opposition, when we are facing pushback, when we are facing the demonic, when we are facing just the spiritual nature of doing ministry. We have networks, we have groups, we have each other, we have Send Network, we have our church behind us who are, you know, urging us on and cheering us on and cheerleading from the side, because you know what? There's nothing new under the sun. The same thing that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Barnabas and whomever else was out church planting in the first century, what we experience now, they experienced then as well. So there, you know, it's just, anyway, so that's a bit of a monologue, but all that to say is, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, we're not doing this alone. As isolating as it can feel, we have a great network behind us.
And it's, there is something about entering a room and knowing that there's other church planters across Canada.
That's right.
Right? There's other people in the trenches doing the same thing that we're doing, facing a lot of the same issues. I mean, different contexts and different neighborhoods, different cities, different issues. Mm-hmm. But regardless, we're all in this together across Canada. And it's refreshing coming from the island. Again, already feeling isolated.
Yep.
And when I was using Children's Pastor, I mean, I was in the Bible Belt of Newfoundland. There was, like, you know, a Pentecostal church every 10, 20 minutes, right? Because that's just the area where they all settled. And it still felt very lonely. Mm. I mean, a lot of the youth pastors, we started to meet together once a month, and that helped, but it still felt very lonely.
Yeah.
With the issues you're facing and, like, who do I reach out to? Can I reach out to someone with this? But here, one thing Wildwood Mission helps a lot with is that me and you as church planters and going through things and raising our families very similar in ages and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we can go to each other with a lot of that. We have Steve and Jennifer and Steve here that we can go to and get advice. But then we also have Send Network, and we have our own coaches through Send Network that we meet with regularly once a month to talk about family issues, to talk about how we're doing with church planting and, you know, what we're thinking about for the future. And then we have these gatherings where we come and they just invest in us. They make sure that we have time with our family. They have time with our wives. They treat us well. They treat us very well. And it's just, it's such a blessing to know that we're not doing this alone. And the work that we're doing is appreciated. I mean, we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for God, but you can get very overwhelmed sometimes. And it's just something about being like, wow, I'm not alone in this. And people get it.
One of the things that affirmed that we are not alone when we were at this gathering was fire alarms.
Yeah, the fire alarm went off at 12 a.m. our first night there.
So just for those listening, we were up. I was up at like 2 o'clock on Wednesday morning to catch a 5 o'clock flight. You know, we traveled to Ontario, to Toronto, and then, you know, a long day. And then we kick off the first night of the gathering. And then we're absolutely wrecked as we go back to our hotel rooms, falling asleep. And then the fire alarm goes off at like 12 o'clock at night. And like my first instinct was like, what is that? And so I message Adam. I'm like, is that the fire alarm? He's like, yeah, dude. And I'm like,
I think so, right?
And so that was, it was confusing. I was like, so the fire alarm's going off. I'm on the 11th floor. What do I do? I'm going to go to the elevator. And then my wife was like, no, you don't use the elevator to the fire alarm. And so then going down 22 flights of stairs, because there's two flights per story. And there was a lot of people. There's a lot of people going down the stairs, right?
Yeah, you were only on the 11th floor. We were on 16th. Steve Bray was on 19th.
Right.
John Lewis is on 27.
So 32 flights of stairs for you would have been 38 for Steve. And then what was John?
27. So he would have been 54.
54, right?
It's a lot of stairs.
Like I know people, and this is bad to say, but I know people who went down from like the, I don't know, 40th story, and they're like, you know what, Matt, I got like down to floor 20, and like, I'm just going back up, right? And so anyway, there was a whole lot of sermon illustrations that came out of that experience, but it was good. Apart from that, you know, even that generated fellowship opportunities, because we were out on the street watching the fire trucks come and just praying and talking about, you know, this, that, and the other things. So it was good.
It was pretty interesting. And we gathered across the road at that big Toronto sign there, because we were downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
And then the signs lit up, but there's fire trucks going, and we're like, what is the issue? And like, I heard a rumor that it could have been like a malfunction heat sensor. Mm. And I think that made it worse for me, because I was like, really? If it had been like a small flame or something, I mean, you don't want any damage to be done, but it's like, it feels worth it then, but for a heat sensor, it's like,
Right, right.
But it was so good. So after coming out of this, Matt, very quickly before we clue up here, how do you feel about the future of church planting across Canada?
Wow, that's a big question. How do I feel about church planting across Canada? Looking and thinking back to who I saw at this conference, I feel like something big is going to happen. I feel like God is on the move across Canada. You know, despite, you know, the division that we're seeing across our continent in Canada and America, with the division, the political nature of our countries, I'm seeing men being called and heeding the calling to church planting in ways that, you know, I didn't know were possible. And so it was, I think we're on the precipice of massive kingdom expansion across the country.
Yeah, it was really exciting to see. And actually, a lot of church planters weren't from Canada.
No, that's right.
A lot of them are from different countries that have immigrated here, and they see the need for churches, whether it be Toronto, whether it be, you know, Winnipeg, Calgary. It doesn't matter, but they're starting churches because they see the need here. And I think the future is bright. I mean, God only knows how it's going to turn out, whether our church plans are actually going to fail or succeed. But as long as the gospel is being proclaimed, and God's not going to let anything prevail against the church. He's going to establish his church. So I'm very excited myself to be a part of this network, to be a part of this denomination, the CNBC, which only would have two churches actually here in the province, which would be Calvary Baptist, our home church, and Kilbride Community Church, which you guys were just recognized a little while back. And the next one, I guess, would be us. When we get a little more established, Downtown Community Church. So that would be only three CNBC churches in our province.
CNBC is the Canadian National Baptist Convention.
But it's very exciting to be a part of, and I'm looking forward to just seeing more churches planted and hearing more stories about churches being established across our nation, and seeing what God's going to do. So with that, thank you again for listening. And catch us again next week as we get back in the swing of things, and hopefully we can tell you a little bit more about the Engage Conference. Until then, thanks for listening. You've been listening to Rugged Theology. Rugged Theology is brought to you by Mile One Mission. If you want to know more about Mile One Mission and our work in Newfoundland and Labrador, visit www.mileonemission.ca.